before we move on over to Deuteronomy 34, Numbers chapter 20. Strange thing happened after the meeting, after Sunday school. I looked in my book bag for my notes and they weren't there. They were nowhere to be found. I know I put them in there this morning, at least I thought I did. And Jason was standing there, the guys were standing there. I said, where could they be? And I go, I don't know. And I thought, you know what, maybe they got tagged in with the board meeting agenda, and if we find the extra board meeting agendas, as we see Mike Gal saying, well, do we keep these? You want to throw these board meeting agendas away? And quick, Jason grabbed and said, no, don't throw them away. Looked on the back, and there was my notes, okay? So I kind of thought I had them, and they were saying, well, what do we need to do? I said, well, I can probably do it without my notes, but it's always better to have them. Anybody with you on that or whatever? Always better to have them so you don't miss anything. And again, sometimes when you rely on your memory, the older you get, the harder it is. Am I right about that? Not as much sticks. But I did find my notes. They were circulating around, and Mike did not hold them for ransom on me, so good thing. So I've got them. But I want to talk about the death of Moses and, again, kind of put some different things involved in that. Let's have a word of prayer as we start. Father, again, we thank you for the word of God. And, Lord, I thank you for men like Moses, what great man he was, and, Lord, the opportunity that will be given to meet him, Lord, to talk to him for eternity. But Lord, our heart's desire is to be with Jesus, and he's the one that's made all these reunions possible when we get to heaven. And his finished work on the cross has applied salvation so we could all be there in heaven. Lord, I pray you might teach us great things. Lord, I pray that each person here will learn something today about Moses or his death that they've never seen before. And Lord, that we would hold on to just not these facts, but Lord, we would learn some principles. And Lord, we try to be like Moses, a man, Lord, who talked with you and walked with you. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us now and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't know this, and again, as I tell you, I hope you all learned something today, because I learned a lot as I started studying about Moses and doing things and putting some things together. I learned a lot. In fact, I could make up a quiz of which I knew none of the answers, none of them, and give it to you. And I was thinking about doing it to see what you knew that I didn't. Okay, I didn't. As I started studying some things and doing facts about Moses and things like that, I like Bible trivia. I like facts, and I do things like that. I tell people I love when I'm watching Jeopardy and they do a Bible category. Anybody like that or whatever? I love that or whatever. And again, a lot of times Scott Anthony calls me up and said, Pastor, did you watch Jeopardy tonight? No, I didn't get to watch it. Oh, okay, I got some questions out of the Bible from Jeopardy for you, and he'll go down through them and go, oh, you knew them all. You know, and then one time he said, the final Jeopardy question was a Bible question, you know, and nobody got it. And he asked me and I got it. And what it was is basically, where was the first birthday party in the Bible? Does anybody know where the first birthday party in the Bible was? Well, it was in Egypt, and it was Pharaoh had it. Remember, Joseph was kind of in jail there and all that, and from the birthday party. You know, I said, I think it was in Egypt. And he goes, man, how'd you know that? Well, am I paid to know stuff like this? I'm not sure, okay? But again, I like Bible trivia. But I'm going to tell you that I have stuff here that I put together from Moses. I didn't know it. I wouldn't have come up with the right numbers and all that. Here's the first thing that I came up with as we go through the illustration, as we go through this, that I didn't know this, okay? For Moses' family, they had a really bad year. One year was really bad. If you look with me, we're in Numbers chapter 20. I didn't know the timing of this, okay? Look with me in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1, please. Verse 1, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. Now you'll notice when it comes into the year, in the verse, it tells you the first month of the year, Miriam died. Okay? This is the beginning of the bad month for the family. I'm going to give you the answer right up again. In the one year, Miriam died, Aaron died, Moses died. How many of you knew that they all died within one year of each other? I had no idea that they did. If you'd have said to me, well, when did Miriam die? Well, Miriam died way over there in Numbers chapter 20. And Moses didn't die way ever till Deuteronomy 34. And how many pages separate those two? So it was a long time, folks, okay? As the children of Israel are getting really close to the promised land, Miriam died real close. They are in the 40. They are in the 40th year of traveling, and Miriam lived to that year. I thought she died maybe 15 years before Moses did or so. I thought she died in the middle of the wilderness wanderings or something. She didn't. She died in the last year of their wilderness wanderings. In the first month, she died. Okay, so basically, if I could put it this way, Numbers chapter 20 is a really bad chapter. Maybe you might want to put on it. Of all the chapters in the Bible, it could be one of the most disheartening chapters in the Bible. Okay, especially if you're in the family of Moses. Why? Miriam dies. Second tragedy that happens in Numbers chapter 20. Do you know what it is? The children of Israel needed water. And Moses came to God and said, they need water. And God said, I'll give you water. You go stand in front of the people and you go talk to the rock. And I'll give you water. Moses went and stood in front of the rock, yelled at the people and called them a name, and then took his staff and did what? Hit the rock twice. Bad, bad, bad. I mean, stop and think about this. He has traveled for 40 years with these people. He is really, really close to the end of it and the promised land. And he struck the rock. And God said, you're not going in. Go with me to Numbers 20. Look at verse 6. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared on them. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the rod. Gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shalt thou give them the congregation and their beast drink. And Moses took the rock from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Who's we, folks? Is he putting himself in here? Does he have that power to bring water out of a rock? Called them rebels? Verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Miriam's died. Now, at this point in time, and as I stop and think about it, a lot of people have died in the last 40 years. Why? Because when they spied out the land out of the 12 spies, remember, you had to be under a certain age in order to get in. And at this point in time, if you were over 60 years old, you weren't going in. Am I right about that? And only two men over 60 years old we know of were allowed to go in. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb, right? Okay. And maybe up until this point, maybe Moses and Aaron were going to be going in. But you'll notice that this is in plural, okay? Notice verse 12. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron. And then I'm going to continue. Because ye, you know this about your King James Bible, okay? Not other translations are like this. In the King James, if we are talking ye, you, your, it's plural. Did you know that? Make a note of it somewhere. If you ever read the word ye, your, you in a King James Bible, it is plural. We're not talking to one person. If we're talking to one person, somebody give me the words we're using. T words. Thou, thine, thy. Okay? And so just so you understand, when it comes to this problem, it's not just Moses. It's Moses what? And Aaron. So we now understand, okay, as we've entered the 40th year, Miriam has died, and Moses and Aaron are being told, you're not going into the promised land. They're going to die within the year. Okay? They're going to die within the year also. So go with me to Numbers chapter 20. Look at verse 23. We're in Numbers 20. Look at verse 23. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land of Edom. I mean, we are really close to the Holy Land. He said, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye, what ye mean, folks? The two of you, rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, bring them up unto Mount Hor, strip Aaron of his garments, put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. Moses did as the Lord commanded, and they went up into the Mount Hor in the sight of the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron died there in the top of the mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the mount, and when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. If you have a Bible mark, okay, we'll just do this. If you look at Numbers 33, I'll read it for you. Numbers 33 says, and I think maybe I should have had Deuteronomy, but Aaron the priest went up into the Mount Hor at the commandment of the Lord. He died there. In the 40th year, if the children of Israel will come out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the fifth month. When did Miriam die? First month. 4 months later, who's dead? Aaron's dead. Okay? Now, when you're saying, well, what's this with his clothes? Remember, he's the high priest. He wore some pretty nice clothes, did he not, to do his job? And the taking off of his clothes and putting them upon Eleazar, his son, meant what? Aaron was no longer the high priest. Who was the high priest next? Eleazar. So that's what it is about the clothes. And sure enough, he died. So again, as you look at it here, for Moses, Numbers chapter 21, chapter 20 is a pretty bad chapter. Lost his sister, lost his brother, and he lost the privilege to be able to do what? Go into the Holy Land because of his sin. Not a very good chapter. I just want to keep this in mind for you, and you can find this in Exodus chapter 7, that when Moses was called by God to lead the people out, it says that he was 80 years old, which makes him how old when he was called by God? 80. In that same verse, it says that Aaron was 83. Okay? So, just putting it all together, okay, Aaron dies at 123 years old. Okay? And Moses is how old? 120, 3 years behind him. Search as I may, I couldn't find out how much older Miriam was than her brothers. She had to be older. Why would you say that? Why would I say that she had to be older than those two boys? Because when the basket of bulrushes was put into the river, she was old enough to do what? Go out and keep track of it and look at it and then run up to a princess and say, hey, I know somebody that can take care of this baby for you. Which means she's got to be older than 3 because her brother was 3. All right, so she's got to be close to somebody give me a guess. Close to what? Teenage years, maybe? Okay, so she could be 10 years, even more than them, okay? So if I'm saying that Aaron dies at 123, maybe Miriam was more in her 130s, okay? More in her 130s, which puts some numbers to it here. Anybody plan on making it that long? Okay, anybody plan on making it that long? Well, maybe not, okay? Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 3 now, please. Deuteronomy chapter 3. I want to show you something here. Okay, at this point in time, anybody get all these numbers right? And you say, Pastor, you haven't said one thing yet that I didn't know. I knew she died in the first month. I knew he died in the fifth month. I knew that was a bad chapter. I didn't have all that information kind of like put together. Okay, again, 23 years old. She was probably in her 130s. But again, I want you to show you something here that in Deuteronomy chapter 3, as Moses was doing some thinking and just trying to think about things, what he was doing. Notice Deuteronomy 3:25. Deuteronomy 3:25, it says, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Verse 26, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, listen to this, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah, lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. What's going on here? Moses came back to God and said what? I want to go. Let me go. And what did God say? No. And don't bring it up again. All right? Now, I'm just going to tell you this, just so you understand this. God does answer prayer. A lot of times he says yes. And a lot of times he says what? No. All right? Just so you understand that. Okay? And but Moses, who spoke to God face to face, could get something. And even this man, who had such a close relationship that he could talk face to face with God, was told what? No. Right? Now, I know, and if you're a dispensationalist out there, I know dispensationally, for Moses to go into the Promised Land kind of is rough. Is anybody with me on that? Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you're using big words. Okay, I'm just trying to impress you. But notice, Moses represents the law. Moses can show you that you're a sinner. And Moses can show you the Promised Land and lead you to it. But the law, which Moses writes, it represents, cannot do what? Take you in. Now, dispensationally, again, the law will show you your need of a Savior. It'll show you how to, again, it'll show you a lot of things, but it can't lead you in. Who leads you in? Well, the next leader's name was what? Joshua, which is the Old Testament word for Jesus, which is the word that means salvation. That's why Joshua takes us in. So again, when God said you can't go in, God's got a reason. And by the time signs you may, well, you don't have a reason. Well, God has a reason. It's a picture here. Moses can show you your need of a Savior, but again, the law cannot take you in. If you're going to go in, it has to be through Jesus. Salvation comes through Jesus alone. So again, he comes to him and said, I want to go in. Okay? I want to go in. You're in Deuteronomy. Go to chapter 32 now, please. Again, Deuteronomy is not really a book that covers history. It was written days or weeks, no matter how long it took, before Moses' death. I think just a couple days before he died, he wrote this. So basically, when you're over in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and he's saying to God, I want to go in, that wasn't a long time before the end of the book. Okay? I mean, Moses was making this plea just a matter of days, okay, before he's going to die. Okay? So that's how I see it. Notice with me, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll go to verse 48, please. 32 and verse 48. Okay? And the Lord, Deuteronomy 32, 48, the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up. Be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in the Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye, notice it's what again, plural, you too, you trespass against me among the children of Israel, the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctify me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give unto the children of Israel. So here he is, again, follow me through, we're in Deuteronomy 32. We have a verse that we memorized. I preached on it last week in Deuteronomy 33, which is the last word that Moses ever spoke. And basically what is happening here in Deuteronomy 32, God is saying to him, it's time to go up into the mountain. And the rest of Deuteronomy, 33, is basically him saying, I got a few things to say before I start my journey. And he issues in Deuteronomy 33 a blessing to every tribe. Then the last part is what I preached on last week, okay? As I leave you, you need to know this. The eternal God is your refuge. Underneath you, the everlasting God. And he will thrust out the enemy from before thee as you go into the land. And then basically Moses is done talking. And what's it time to do? Climb a mountain. It's time to climb a mountain. Okay? And again, as I start thinking, there's just a lot to think about that. Again, it's time to climb. Right? And he's getting ready to go. Now here's something I want to give you. And here's something I didn't know. Okay? Moses is 120 years old. So is that old or not? Is that time to go or not? I mean, now you're saying, well, today it would be. Yeah. No, I'm talking about Moses' day. Well, you might say, well, I don't know. Because I already gave you a hint that his sister may have lived to be how old? Into 130s. Brother definitely went to what? 123. Here's the thing I have for you. What's the family history on this thing, man? What's the family history? I didn't know any of this. I've read it, but it just never sunk in. What's the family history? Do you know that if Moses dies at 120, he will be the youngest in his family? Everybody in his family lives much longer than that. Okay? Yeah, I want you to go with me, if you can, please, to, I think I want you to go to Exodus chapter 6. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 6. Here's some verses that just kind of get tucked away and we don't really ever see them. Okay, now, again, there are some things you know here. Exodus 6 is where you're going. All right, now, maybe you do, maybe you don't. Now, this is part of the quiz, and I knew this answer, though. What tribe? 12 tribes of Israel. What tribe was Moses from? You can figure this out. Who knows? What tribe was he from? Levi. He had to be from Levi because his brother becomes the high priest, right? Are you with me? And in order to be the high priest, you had to be from Levi. So all the Levites became the Levites and the priests. So Moses, being with his brother, he's in the tribe of Levi, okay? So of the 12 sons of Jacob, he's from Levi. So you can see here in Exodus 6:16, notice what it says here. These are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations. Notice Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Now, I'm just going to make mention and we'll leave it. When the Levites got their jobs to serve in the temple and the tabernacle, these three boys' family got separate jobs. For example, who carried the ark from place to place? One of those boys' family. They carried it. If you weren't from that family, don't carry the ark. Others of them carried the tent. If you weren't from that family, don't carry the tent. So those three boys, as you study the Levites, they got jobs according to what family they were in. That's all I'm going to say. And you might say, well, what jobs were they all? Well, ask me and I'll preach a sermon on that sometime, okay? But again, so there's three groups of Levites because Levi had three what? Sons, all right? Now, just follow this down here in verse 16, okay? And the years of the life for Levi were what? How long did he live? 137. Now, again, I know that the Bible can miss some generations in here and understand that. But again, as we want to put this, and if we can put it this way, I don't know if this was his granddad, his great-granddad, his great-great-granddad. Again, sometimes the Bible leaves off generations and it's allowed to do that, okay? But you got to remember, Levi, when he went down to Egypt, okay, that was in 1876 B.C. It is now 1406. 1876, 1406, we're a long way down the way. Is everybody following me through? Over 400 years. And for me to say that this was his grandfather, okay, it's kind of hard for me to have a grandfather that goes back 400 years. Okay, I think my one grandfather was born in, what, 1905, I think? Okay, so I can get my one grandfather back to 1905. I can't get back 400 years. Okay, I'm pretty close, aren't I? What's that? Oh, no, well, that's your dad. Well, your dad's 1905. See, I got one of them right. Okay. But you follow me through. Go back 400 years. But if this was his grandfather, great-grandfather, but in the family, Levi lived to be how old? 137. How old's Moses? 120. He's kind of young, is he not? Keep reading. Again, verse 17, the sons of Gershon, Libni, Shimei, according to their families, the sons of Kohath. Notice the sons of Kohath. Amram, Izhar, and Hebron, and Eziel, and the years of the life of Kohath were what? 133 years. So he lived to be what? 133. His dad outlived him by 4 years. Okay? So now, again, we have this man, Kohath. He only lived to be 133. Notice the sons in verse 19 of Merari, Mahali, and Mushi. These are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed. Do these names make sense to you? Amram and Jochebed. Who are they? That's Moses' and mom and dad. His father's sister, again, to wife. And she bore him Aaron and Moses, and the years of the life of Amram were 137. So that's dad. Dad, and now the three generations I just gave you, dad was 137, granddad was 133, and great-granddad went to what? 137. Now, as again, there could be some names in between there, because again, when we went down to Egypt, it was 1876, we're coming into the land of Egypt in 1406, we got a long way in between there, okay? 470 years, and I don't know that you can get those guys to stretch that far. But the numbers that are given, Moses is kind of young, okay? Moses is kind of young to be dying right now, so that you understand that. So when it's time for him to go up, again, he's going to be the youngest in the family to die because I believe his sister made it into the 130s. I know his brother made it to 123, and he's going to die a youngin at how old? 120, okay? How many of you knew those numbers? I didn't know those numbers, okay? So he's young in the family to be dying is what it's going to be there. Go with me, if you will, now to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy 34, and Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead and Dan. Just follow me through. Again, you're going to get a lot of names here. And we do the same things when it comes to mountains. We have, you know, like mountains and mountain ranges and peaks. And we have all kinds of different names for parts of mountains, okay? So if somebody says, you know, what mountains do you live in? Well, you could say, you know, I live in the what? Give me some mountains we live in. We're in the Appalachian Mountains, are we not? But somebody says, well, I thought we lived in the Allegheny Mountains. And, you know, there's all kinds of names when it comes to mountains, okay? Not a problem with that. So, again, different mountains, whether it's a range, whether it's the peak, whether it's the mountain itself, that's why you're seeing a bunch of different names. Well, if you were to ask me a quiz and say to me, where did Moses die? I would say Mount Nebo. That's what I would say. Okay? And you could say, well, wasn't it Pisgah? Wasn't it? I understand there's different names, but I always give the name Mount Nebo. Okay, so he went to the top there of Mount Nebo, okay? And as he was there, notice it shows him here the land of Gilead. Now, again, this is kind of how I'm going to do it here. And I'm going to kind of, if I can do it this way, I'm going to be the mountain. Okay, I am Moses standing on the mountain. And I'm going to do the best I can. First of all, and I don't know if it's exactly north or whatever, it's probably not. But as I'm on the mountain right here, I am looking to my north. Okay, I'm looking this way. The Jordan River runs over here, okay? It runs from up there at the Sea of Galilee, and it runs right down there. I can see it from this mountain. It's running right down there. I am looking north to Gilead. And again, this is the land that God is going to give to 2.5 tribes. It's on the east of the river, okay? As I'm looking north, it's to the right, okay? So I'm looking at the land up here. And basically, as I read these next couple of verses, Moses is standing here looking north, and then he turns counterclockwise. And as you get all these different places, read your Bible there, you'll see it. As you get all the different places, he's looking just like that. Okay? He really doesn't look back here, though he does, but there is no land back here that Israel is going to possess. This is, you know, as you look to the east, this is not their land. Okay? But as you look north, 2.5 tribes are going to get that. As you look over the Jordan River, you're looking all the way across. And finally, you're ending, you're looking down at the Dead Sea and the wilderness of Judah and everything down there. So again, as you see this, he looks at the land of Gilead, then he's over here to Dan, and then Naphtali, and then Ephraim, and Manasseh, and then Judah, and unto the utmost sea, even down to the south, which people call the Negev. And he saw the plain of the valley of Jericho and the city of palm trees unto Zoar. So again, he basically starts here, and it's just a panoramic view of looking all the way around here. And again, he is able to see all the land that God is going to give that. And this is where Ken read for us in verse 4. The Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Jacob, unto Isaac and Jacob. I will give it to thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over there. And so the next verse kind of lets you know why he went up. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died in the land of Moab. Again, there's just a few things that I have here. Again, I put down here, Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. Again, he sees the land. And I just got thinking, you're Moses and you're walking up this mountain. And you know you're not coming down. What are you thinking? Why'd you go up? Why didn't you run the other way? How many of you, if God would have told you to walk up a mountain because you're going to die up there, would think, I'm going the other way? Don't think it wouldn't enter your mind. I'm going the other way. And I just put down this down here. I just put three words. Moses trusted God. I think it's just as simple as that. Okay? I think he maybe was listening to one of his great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers way back, Abraham. Shall not the judge of all the earth, what are the next two words? Do right. And he knows, you know, it's time to go. But I also got thinking about this. Did you know this or whatever? So what if Moses would have lived for the next couple years? Life would have gotten really hard. I mean, they're heading over. And what are they going to do for the next number of years, folks? The next, what, dozen years? What are they going to do? It's fighting in wars. It's fighting in wars. And no, he just kind of told Moses, I know the promised land's over there, come on home. And Moses, I believe, trusted God and said, you know what? This is what needs to happen. I just need to go home. I got to tell you what, folks. Let's go ahead and look at the next 12 years or more than that that Joshua and the people had. They were fighting and fighting and fighting. What was Moses doing for those 12 years? He was having a good time, wasn't he? He trusted God. He knew that. Again, I put down Moses climbed Mount Nebo with the confidence that God knew what he was doing. Maybe I put this down. Faith shines most brightly when the times are confusing. We don't understand, yet we still can trust God. Again, Moses faced death unafraid because he trusted in God. Here's a man who's walking to his intimate death, okay? And then I also put this down, though. If a philosophy or a religion doesn't help you to die, what good is it to live with? Does that make sense? And so here's a man who just absolutely trusted God. Again, he went up and saw the land. And again, we just have to remember that when he saw the land, God is faithful. I promised almost 600 years ago to Abraham that I would give this land to his seed, and it's coming true, Moses. I keep my promises. I keep my promises. I like there in verse 5. Notice what Moses is called in verse 5. Don't miss it. Underline your Bibles if you need to. Moses, what is he? Servant of the Lord. What a great title to have. I think of Paul as he said that a number of times, being a servant of the Lord. Again, he was a servant. And by the way, I do tell people this. Think of Moses' life. He was a servant of the Lord by choice. Because Hebrews chapter 11, okay, and verse 25 says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy what? The pleasures of sin for a season in the palaces of Egypt. He chose to be a servant. It was a choice he made. I'd like to ask him as he's walking up the mountain, Moses, life wasn't always easy. Life was hard. Given the chance to go back 80 years or more right now, as you were living in Egypt, if you had the choice to do it over again, would you have chosen to stay in Egypt as a prince? Or would you have chosen to serve God? Somebody tell me what you think he'd say. I made the right decision. Not an easy decision. Doesn't mean that life got easy because he chose to be a servant of the Lord. It was hard life. But I guarantee you, if you could have walked up that mountain with him, he would have said, I made the right choice. And I do it again, I do it all over again. So there he is walking up there. Again, Hebrews 3:5, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Here's something, though, that I want to give you about the death of Moses. I do believe he walked up that mountain by himself. I really do. I don't think anybody went with him this time. He walked up there. Could you imagine being in Israel and watching him go? This is it. But you know what? He didn't die alone. He didn't die alone. Who'd he die with? The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the what? Everlasting arms. He died in the arms of God. I want to just go ahead and compare that to a death that's going to take place 1,436 years later. Jesus died on top of a mountain, and he died alone. My God, why hast thou what? Boy, I was kind of thinking about that. Moses, thinking, nobody there. Miriam's dead. Aaron's dead. All by himself. But he wasn't. Then I thought about Jesus. He died all alone for my sins. That's a horrible thought. I'm sorry. But it was because of me that Jesus had to die on that mountain all alone. Moses at least had God there. By the way, though no human beings were there, I think it's one of the biggest funerals that ever took place, because I know the angels were there. Because a verse that causes me confusion helped me. Because when Moses died, you remember Satan wanted the body of Moses? And who was he talking to about it? Michael the archangel. I believe there was a huge angelic funeral that took place there. And Satan showed up and said, I want his body. And Michael basically said, you can't have it. And he said, wait a minute. I'm not arguing with about that. You go talk to Jesus about it. But you can't have his body. Why did maybe Satan want his body? He'd have taken it right back to the children of Israel, and they'd have made a what out of it? An idol. They'd have made an idol out of it. They just started worshiping him, which is the thing Moses probably didn't want at all. So again, I think he died here. And if you read these verses, I mean, if you do read the verses, okay, it's very plain. Verse 6, he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Very clear that no man knows where it is, but can somebody else tell me who might know about it? I think a lot of angels knew where it was buried. I think a lot of angels had it. By the way, don't think that, again, when somebody dies that angels don't show up. I'm told in what, Luke chapter 16, that a beggar died? A beggar died. And what happened? Somebody tell me what the verses say. Do you know what the verses say in Luke 16? The angels carried him where? Abraham's bosom. Okay? So nobody dies alone. As I said before, the only person who died alone on this earth was who? Jesus. That's it. So again, I'm not feeling so bad for Moses. I think there were people there. And again, it was good, all the things that took place there. Again, he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth it unto this day. And I just kind of put down here, again, let us seek to make our lives immortal, not in monuments and gravestones, but in riches and earthly honors, but making the world better with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Again, I go by cemeteries or whatever. I see big stones and I see all kinds of things or whatever. What's that? Make a difference in this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Telling people about Jesus. Getting other people saved so they also can go to heaven. It's not all about monuments and stones and all those kinds of things. So again, it's all about getting the name of Jesus Christ out there to the people that need to have it. Again, continuing on. I like some more verses that go on. Moses, in verse 7, was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Well, of course it wasn't. He wasn't old. He was only 120. I mean, people in that day die when? People in his family die when? 130s. So when somebody says, well, you know, he was too young to die. That's really the truth of the matter is, though. But again, his eye was not dim. I can't say that. Anybody else wearing them? His eye was not dim. His natural force was unabated. I'd like to be able to tell people that I am as strong now as I ever been. Okay? I'm not. I tell people, I'm just not as strong as I used to be. Now, anybody thinks you should be, I'm not. I'm just not. I mean, I tell people, it is funny, but I can stand under a basketball rim and tell people I used to be able to dunk. Now I can't even touch a net. And if I would jump any higher than that, the landing would kill me. Okay? Used to be able to dunk one. Not anymore. Okay? So again, I try. You work at it. But here's a man that God kept ready for the job, did he not? But again, I did want to say something about that. Just so, again, we understand that. It's neat to me that, Swindoll said this. Chuck Swindoll, I read this one time and I copied it down. And I like it. He says, you're just as old as you want to be. That's what Chuck Swindoll said. You're just as old as you want to be. I like that. Jim Elliot, who died young, but he did say this in his book. Wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. There's a Bible verse that says that. What is it? Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Okay? Do it with the might. Where therefore ye eat, or drink, or whatsoever you do, do what? Now, I'm not here pushing physical fitness. That's not what I'm talking about. Because, again, if I could put it this way, again, aches and pains and diseases and all kinds of things will hit us, okay? But, again, don't let it zap the vitality out of your life, out of your mind, okay? Again, stay strong as you can. Stay strong as you can. Live full. Live as best you can. And, like I said, I tell people I can't do all the things I used to do. But live as full as you can. What was it? I was reading the story, and I don't know if it was Daily Bread and if it was recent or long ago, I can't remember. I remember Daily Bread or whatever, but this story, it may not have been Daily Bread. It could have been one of them. But the story was told of a lady who came to a little classroom in a school building, and she was advertising something that she was promoting and wanted the kids to get involved in or whatever. And it was just a little lady that was bent over or whatever, and she kind of walked in, and she gave her announcement of what she wanted the kids to do and all that. And then she left or whatever, and one little boy said to the teacher, "I don't ever want to live to be that old." And then the teacher said, "It beats the alternative, dying young." And I thought about that. Beats the alternative, dying young. So you got two choices, die old, die young. What are they or whatever? But if God gives you years, use those years best you can. And again, as life changes, activities change, responsibilities change, but be all you can. I tell people, if somebody says, "Well, Pastor, I can't do much anymore," can you pray? Then you pray. Then you pray like you've never prayed before. And you use all your strength to pray. And can I tell you something? It takes strength to be a prayer warrior. You use that kind of strength. Maybe you can't go play basketball anymore. Maybe you can't do things or whatever. Then use your strength to pray. So again, Moses was old, 120, but yet a strong man is what I read here again. And so I just kind of wrote this down. Moses chose to live until he died. I wrote this down. Too many choose to die even though they're still living. Just be strong. Okay? What God has given you, use it for His glory. I like the next phrase that I have here, verse 9. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. I put this down here. Leaders pass away, but the work of God advances. Leaders pass away. But the work of God advances. And you can see here that the greatest leader maybe that they ever had was Moses is gone. But Joshua comes and takes over. And Joshua does a good job there. I like a verse. It's my 2:2:2 verse. There is a 2:2:2 verse also. But the 2:2:2 verse is 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So again, someday you're going to climb that mountain. As you look back, is there somebody ready to take your place? And you can even see Moses put his hands on this man and made him ready. Have you passed the baton on to the next part there? And then I need to finish up here quickly. Again, the next part I have is verse 10, which is just a beautiful verse. There rose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. I mean, this man made a difference. Nobody like him, okay? As far as I know, he wrote more of the Bible than anybody else did. Maybe not as many books, but count the pages, folks. He wrote more than anybody else. He was definitely the lawgiver. Again, he did a job that absolutely almost impossible to do. He took those people and got them into the Holy Land. Again, the complaining, the murmuring that they did. But again, he did an absolutely wonderful job. And I just put it this way. Moses' legacy is basically this. We've never had a guy like Moses since Moses. We've never had a guy like Moses since Moses. And I put down here, make a difference. I can't stop without giving you this, though, because maybe you know it. But here's the question. Did Moses ever make it into the Promised Land? He did. Matthew 17, Mark 9, Luke 17. When Jesus went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, who came down and talked to him? Moses and what? And Elijah. And watch this now, because I just want to give you this. This is just my thinking. While Moses and Elijah showed up, Peter had this great idea. Let's build 3 booths and stay here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. I think one of the dissenting voices, if it would have had a chance to talk, would have been Moses. He probably would have said something like this. This Holy Land's not all it was cracked up to be. I've been somewhere far better. I don't plan on staying. I want to go where? Home. So he came down for a little bit. Touched on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw your slides. Some people, I don't know if anybody told you what mountain they thought that was when you were there. I've heard people say they thought it was Mount Moriah. That's a guess, okay, that they're thinking it was Mount Moriah, which is along the edge of the plains there. Again, so some people think it was Mount Moriah that he showed up there. But you notice Moses did get in, okay. I don't think he hovered. I think he got to put his feet down there. And I think he saw it and, you know, knew the promises of God were true. The people were in the land. But it wasn't a place he wanted to stay. It was time to do what? When he was done talking. He was talking to Jesus about dying, by the way. He said, they talked to Jesus about his death. And maybe he said, well, when I died, let me tell you how it was, okay? And I don't know. I tried to think about that too. How'd he die? How'd he die? How would you have liked to died up on that mountain if you were Moses? Can I, you know, that was a long climb. I'm 120. That was a long climb. Can I just take a nap over here? And he sat down to take a nap, and what? He woke up in heaven. I don't think there was a sword that came down and did anything big. I think he just said, well, you know, for a 120-year-old man, that was quite a climb. Was it 2,000? No. It's higher than any mountain in Pennsylvania, so it's got to be over the threes, right? And it was a 3,000-some-foot walk up that mountain. So he's a little tired. I think he sat down, and next thing you know, he just woke up in the arms of God going into heaven. But he did make it into the Promised Land at the Mount of Transfiguration. Again, what a great man Moses was. I'm going to get to talk to him someday, because I know Jesus is my Savior. Do you? There's no hope of ever going to heaven outside of Jesus. Moses is a great man. Let's make a difference in this world. Father, I pray you might help us. Lord, as we studied Moses, he was a great man. I gave a lot of facts and figures that maybe people didn't know. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to live our lives knowing that someday you are going to call us up that mountain. We don't know when it's going to be, but Lord, help us to live our lives as full for you as we can until that day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.